But you're seeing crazy things, right? So, I mean, I'm always adding on social media. A lot of people have a really bad image of festivals. They think of like two things, like, you know, crazy drugs and people with no jobs have no money.
What is going on, everybody? Good morning and welcome to Scratch That, your not so typical morning show. Hope everyone's having a great day. It is Friday, so we got big Friday energy. And as chicks in the office say, on a Friday. So really excited, man. I got my co-host, Will Unknown, with me. What's going on, Willie?
How we doing? It's good Friday. It's a good weekend.
It is good Friday. It's good Friday on a good Friday.
That's true. I'm excited to dip into number two here on Scratch That. And, yeah, keep it going.
I love that, man. So we're wrapping up on the last one. Just talk about the good guys out there, as we call them, like the guys that helped us in the come up. I really appreciate what you had to say about me, man. Like, you know, I had a few minutes to reflect and just be like, man, I didn't even know what I was doing when I was doing it with you, to be honest. Like, you know, like anyone could teach like a 5-year-old how to DJ the basics, song up, song down, pan fade, all that stuff. But like, DJing's an art, man. It's a creative, like, being of music, and it's just really cool. You can only get somebody so far, and that's why I meant in that last step, like you took those fundamentals that I told you. It's like, this is how to just get through it, and you really have turned it into some good stuff. I must say, I'll give you this in full ownership. Your song selection is far better than my song selection. I always have a good song on deck. I'll give you that. I always have a good song on deck, but you have that, like, push it to the limits. You got that next song ready that is like, oh, dude, you're ready to make this.
I need to get that in writing. But I will literally tell you what that is mostly attributed to is when I'm going to these places, like we talked in the last episode, New York, Chicago, Miami. Heck, when I first started, you know, in our former life, going around, I have in this phone notes app from almost every time there's a DJ that I respected. There's about three songs that, like, I didn't think of that. And it could be something from Shoddy Low, literally. Like, that was one that I was like, that's a great song. Or sometimes it's like you're DJing a wedding and a girl comes up to you and gives you a request.
Right.
And you're like,
had that this weekend.
That's a great request.
Dude, I was in Hollaback Girl. And then, have you heard the song Lip Gloss? Mm-hmm. My lip gloss be cool. My lip gloss be popping. Dude, she, as soon as, like, Hollaback Girl came on, like, she ran up and was like, you need to put lip gloss on next. And I was like, what is this girl talking about? Lip gloss ain't going to fit here. And that started. I had it in my queue, and I was like, oh, man, this is going to just slam on top. But, yeah, man, you got that game, dude. But we really hit into the last episode about the guys that helped us come up, and I'll be honest, moving from DC to Charlotte, like, the game was really weird. I'll be honest, I felt shunned out from the DJ world for about the first year that I was here. And I think part of it was the venues I was going to connect with DJs, and then the DJs, I guess, coincidentally, that I was trying to connect with. And, man, I'll say, like, there have been some great dudes in Charlotte that I really appreciate. You know, I just want to give a quick shout out to, you know, Nick, DJ Ghost, from DC, and DJ Chris Styles, man. You guys really both, helped me get from a place of functional to good, and then from good to great. Taught me the club scene and the event scene. So thank you guys very much. Like, you guys are the reason that I'm still DJing today. And I honestly thought when I moved to Charlotte, I was ready to hang it up because I couldn't connect down here, man. I know you're different and you got, I don't know how you did it. And I can't wait to hear about it, but connecting in Charlotte, man, I found it to be hard. I really did. I felt it to be not trying to diss anyone or come across as ignorant, but like, Charlotte DJ scene is massively incestual. I mean, right. You get what I mean when I say that?
For sure.
Have you encountered that?
I would say, you know, there's been a lot of great DJs in Charlotte that have been willing to help. there's been a few that have been standoffish, but I kind of see it like this, Kyle. Like, my final destination is not Mecklenburg County. My final destination is my full potential, my 100% potential. And so I don't really lose sleep if people in Charlotte aren't nice to me. My goal is not to own every property or venue in Charlotte. My goal is to be the best businessman in the music world, from producing, branding, DJing, you name it, universally. Like, I want to be in Madrid. I want to be in Italy. I want to be in the Hamptons.
That's
like,
so good.
So when people rub me the wrong way in Charlotte, I'm just like, their goal is to be the best DJ in Charlotte. That's great. I love that. My goal is just to be the best that I can be and know that I go to every agenda, every conversation with no ego. Why? Because there are DJs in Charlotte that can help me get to the Hamptons.
True story.
That's the reality.
Yeah. Hey, look, man, you are your only limit. I see that sign literally hanging behind your head. So it was so funny that you were talking on point to it. And so I had to.
I lost the bet on Pinterest and how to get a bunch of 40-year-old mom quotes up there.
But that is the best 40-year-old mom quote. And don't knock the 40-year-old moms. Look, bro, I'm married to one and she's a bop. Love my lady to death still. And she is the hottest mom I know. But with that, man, like, yeah. I don't know. I think I'd be misplaced if I didn't give a big shout out to Boss Austin as well, man. I know since I've been to Charlotte, it was really, like I said, it was tough for me. I got into the event space, which I kind of accidentally did here. I wasn't planning on it, but I mean, I still wanted to DJ, and I knew if that's how I had to DJ, that's how I had to DJ. And it was great because I really, even within that agency, I tried to separate myself and be like, I didn't try to be my own Tidecast, but whenever somebody called up, and as popular as EDM has grown, there are a lot of people get married in that younger generation that was like, I want a real hype, real high energy, like a borderline EDM DJ. And I was one of the only guys in the agency that was like that, and like a non-traditional event DJ. And I mean, that's what helped me, but that really got me to a place where I was looking to find other event DJs, and I found Kyle Genesis. Big shout out to KG right there, man. Fleetwood, I hope you're doing well, brother. But he actually collaborated
Let me tie the knot back to music and sports. So we both were D1 athletes in South Carolina, now DJs.
Yes. No, he played football. So yeah, he played SEC football, man. And that dude, he is dedicated, man. Wakes up early, works out every day, works on his craft every day, produces his own stuff. Like, KG, man, I have seen you rise in Charlotte, and you are a phenomenal inspiration to newer or younger DJs, man. But he put me in touch with Boss Austin, and I had like a 2-hour call with Boss, and man, like, he got me plugged in. And true story, just going to own it. Not always the gigs that you want to DJ right away, but I understood, you know, I was in a fresh place and I was brand new and no one knew who I was. And man, thank you for giving me that chance, going all the way back to like the Blind Pig and working up to Jim Mill and Tiber and Dandy and all those great places.
And you know who used to come see you at all those events.
My man, Will Unknown. Dude, honestly, he was like, look, I just want to come watch you mix. I never heard anyone say that. But dude, the fact that you were in that headspace to be like, I want to come watch you mix and hear you mix. And I remember, like, and I didn't find it annoying at all. I found it inspiring. Like, you would take videos. You would literally whip the phone out and start recording things I did. You remember, peace up, AIDS, that cut. Like, you're like, oh, and honestly, like, and you're like that now. You just get that creative itch and you're like, what if I did this? And then you do it. And then you're like, oh, that works. And I will say, for people like you and I, like, 9 times out of 10, it works. Like, yeah, like, you're always going to fail when you're creative. And if you're not able to accept that, then, like, you're always going to be basic. And so that's why I love being creative and pushing it, man. But, like, you know, I know you, like, we talked last episode. I want to tap into this for the next few minutes of this first half here. But, like, yo, you met a really great guy in Chicago. And, by the way, for those who don't know, like, EDM, it originated in Chicago. I believe it was like in the 80s when disco kind of turned into electronic disco. And then those from like Sweden and the UK, they adopted that and brought it back overseas. And that is what really, like, Martin Garrix, David Guetta, Tiesto, those guys really seized that opportunity of electronic disco and turned it into EDM. And it was really cool. There's great documentaries on Netflix. I won't beat that upside the head. But that's my living space for entertainment is Netflix documentaries. And if there's one,
and you would say, as far as America goes, Chicago kind of the originator, Miami kind of the new face of it, and mm-hmm. then New York somewhere in the middle of having all of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And Vegas too. I think that it's very much like the way we speak. When you're from Boston, you talk like my cousin from Boston, you know, and like when you're in Texas, you talk like this. And like, you know, as you see different cultures even come in, you know, and have, you know, more generations of kids, you hear that language change and you see that culture change across the United States. And I'll say, even as niche as EDM, I think that's how we have all of our subgenres now. I really think that's how we've gotten into house and tech and deep house and all that, all the way to dubstep, man. I think it is very culturally different. Like, you just don't have dubstep, and it's like across the United States. It started with somebody. It started with a guy, Sonny Moore, who turned into Skrillex, really, from Atlanta, you know, and now it's everywhere. But I don't know. I find that really cool. And I know I just went off on a rant. So
back to your original question.
Let's go back. Yeah.
Yeah, now back to your original question, because you're asking me how I connected with a guy in Chicago. And I'd say, aside from you, probably one of the most genuine, you know, willing to help type of guys. But this is such a DJ thing. We were both working out at F45 class. F45 had a DJ. I know you've done that before. So what do DJs do when there's a DJ? After the class, you go talk to the DJ.
Oh, you know it.
So two people talking to the DJ. One's a hip-hop DJ. My boy Preston, he's kind of an EDM DJ. And then, you know, me, I'm just trying to learn. So long story short, man, this dude ended up being so nice. Went out and watched him play at one of the, it's a top five party in Chicago for St. Patty's Day at Joy District. And he was DJing. There was a lot of DJs, but he had a nice stint there, and went back and hung out with him. Ended up giving me his USB, went to lunch with him after, and he gave me his USB and was like, man, go get yourself in anywhere. Here's my music. Like if, you know, any way that I can help you get to where you want to go, let me know. I've never had a DJ give me a USB. I'm not going to lie about
DJ, it. Bro. Yeah, dude, I don't think I've ever given anyone a USB before.
And I've only known him for, you know, a week maybe or 2 weeks at this point. I feel like that'll always stick with me. He's like, however, and he's been a successful Chicago DJ. He's, you know, he's been there, done that.
Right.
And he's like, however you can, you know, use me to take it to the next level, man, like, just want to help out. And I feel like that will always stick with me, even more than music, just helping people in business, you know?
Yeah, man, it's awesome. You could pay it forward more than just that in line at Starbucks, dude. You pay it forward with you know, your abilities. And I think it's really cool. And no, I love that. And you're such a connector, dude. Like some people call it networking, but networking's like going out with a purpose. I feel like you are just you have this aura to you that is like, it's gravitational, if that makes sense. I don't even
like,
know
what
if
do you,
I said
like, what do you
right.
think's more surprising? The fact that he gave me his USB or the fact that I reached out and asked him if I could just come watch him DJ? Because I think he was a little surprised. I'm not going to lie about it.
Like, yeah, I think to like really good, humble DJs, like being asked to come out and watch is like, you know, I don't think there's a lot of DJs that hear that a lot. You know, we're not John Summit and we're not, you know, like Afrojack. We're not guys that's like people want to follow. But I think it's really humbling when that happens. But I think, again, with you, like, I think it speaks volumes of who you are and your character and your interest and your passion to be like, yo, can I come watch you? And I think it's also an important call out that he gave you the USB like that too. It just shows you that A, he's a good prepared DJ. He's probably got multiples of that thing ripped. But like, the fact is that he saw a need, he saw a vessel, and he was like, look, we need a DJ and I got a split. Here's my USB, man. And I think that's cool. I'm glad you had that opportunity. All right. So scratch that. We're just going to jump right into the back half of this thing. And that's just the whole conversation around festivals. Obviously, I feel like every single year without fail, you're hearing at least one, two, three, four stories about things going wrong, things happening. Obviously, like, some things are completely out of the control of, you know, infrastructure, logistics, control of humans, like weather, like what's happening in Ultra right now, but also hearing about this, like Imagine Festival being paused for 2024, which in my opinion, that's one of the great ones. Huge acts go through Imagine, but yeah, I mean, I don't know enough about it to really talk on it, but Ultra though, man, have you seen the Instagram clips of what's going on down there? Have you seen some of the footage?
Yeah, I mean, pretty unfortunate with some of the weather and stuff, but I think Burning Man last year brought a lot of attention to people that aren't familiar with festivals to what really goes on, right? So people were wondering why, you know, they're in the middle of nowhere and there's, you know, maybe a shortage of food and water. People are having to get by foot and get out of there. So, I mean, festivals have been going on for a while, but, you know, a lot of the idea around it is to kind of escape, to kind of get lost in the music. So it's, they're becoming more mainstream.
No, I get it. And what a good call. It wasn't even at the top of my head, but Burning Man. Yeah, you're right. And who was it? It was like Diplo and I think Kevin Hart.
Chris Rock.
Yeah, they had to get like escorted out by like a pedestrian truck, basically. And I know Diplo rolled up to, and I think he flew like to D.C. that night and he was still covered in mud. He didn't have shoes.
Played at Echo Stage.
And then played at Echo Stage. Yes, one of my favorite venues. That is a fun venue to play. It's really cutting edge, state of the art. But yeah, man, I love a good festival, dude. I grew up going to like Creation and Cornerstone. Did you ever hear about those?
No.
Good old Christian music festivals. And I mean, dude, they were hot too. You were a teenager sweating it just off completely. But man, I miss a good festival. And I feel like nowadays maybe it's with the culture, maybe it's with the generation, but I feel like each festival needs to keep getting more and more elaborate and extravagant and creating this experience, which, you know, I mean, like...
But you're seeing crazy things, right? So, I mean, I'm always adding on social media. A lot of people have a really bad image of festivals. They think of, like, two things, like, you know, crazy drugs and people with no jobs have no money. But if you really look at it, like, some of the stuff that was going on at Tulum, Jeff Bezos there. You have Elon Musk that's getting called to festivals. Alex Earl was just at Ultra. Like, normal people that make millions and billions of dollars go because of one reason, what I said about Shaq earlier. It's a freedom setter. You can't experience... These DJs don't play this kind of music anywhere except festivals. They literally, like for EDC and stuff, they're working on sets that they'll never play that music or even maybe put it out.
True.
And so it's a very unique experience that you see like super high net worth people going to. It's not like a get strung out, you know, I mean, that does happen.
Right. But yeah. This isn't Woodstock. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's not Woodstock. These are very modernized, very experienced driven environments, man. Yeah. I've seen some promos for some of the VIP sections of festivals. And I mean, they have like executive chefs coming in and cooking sushi and stuff like that. And like some of their bathhouses that they have are just, they're insane, man. It's like the stuff that you'd see in Ritz-Carlton. So yeah, it's definitely an experience driver. I feel bad for what's happening in Miami right now with Ultra. Just an absolute, like, no pun intended, but it's a pigsty. It's just standing water everywhere. I know that they put a pause on it, but yeah, I mean, it's crazy. But the one I'm really looking forward to, I know you hear me talk about this all the time, but Fyre Festival. Like, I searched for swag for Fyre Festival at one point because I wanted some of that miserable failure gear so bad. And poor Billy McFarlane. And, you know, he's teamed up with your boy.
Ja Rule, baby.
Ja Rule, baby.
I wouldn't miss him for anything.
I know, man. I'll go. Like, we should go. Yeah, you know, we should try to get on the bill for that, actually.
I mean, honestly, we could probably be a opener for somebody. Direct support.
With the way the last one turned out, they'll be looking for artists like us, probably. But, no,
we could be direct support, yeah.
Yeah, for real. And, I love both the documentaries. They both tell similar stories through different lenses. But man, I really love that documentary. I would really love to see a festival on an island with all those big acts and, you know, wishful thinking, like he's trying to do it again. We'll see what happens. I mean, from the credit card situation that he started to festivals and VIP tickets to the Met and everything else, man, this guy, I would say if he can pull off 1 ounce of his creativity, the guy is all time. I mean, I know everyone hates Billy McFarland, and I don't have a say in that. But, man, he's a dreamer, all right? You know, he's a dreamer and a schemer, and I just want to be like him when I grow up. But, yeah, man. No,
you know which one I'm looking forward to is Lollapalooza up there in Chicago.
Yeah?
That's the one I love where it's back to the diversity piece of, like, they're getting everybody. Like, Fred again, Blink 182, Machine Gun Kelly, Doja Cat. Like, that to me is, like, the perfect, because I love all kinds of music. So,
yeah.
I mean, festivals are just, they're getting more popular every year.
And I like how eclectic that festival is, like what you just said. I mean, like, Bonnaroo. Coachella is, I would say, close to Lolla. But there are very few festivals that you could put all of those, like, those top three names, Fred Again, Doja, and Blink 182, all on the same bill, possibly even on the same day, possibly even on the same stage, and make the festival hit for everyone. And I know Hannah was up in Chicago last time that festival was going on, and she just said that the town was thriving. I love what it does for environments like that, man. And, no, I'm excited, man. I really want to get Z to a festival. I know it's going to be a couple years still, but, man, I would love nothing more than even Bonnaroo, which I would say is probably going to be the more tame of the festivals out there. But I think because it brings such a great mix of music and people together, it's like, yeah, no, I'm going to need to wait for them to be at least 16 to take them to Ultra, because, I mean, I'd say you get high just walking into the environment. And, I mean, no, chemically wise, not euphoric. So, but, yeah, man. Yeah, while we wrap this one out, what are your plans for music this summer? Like, festival show wise, what's on deck for big guy over here?
I think Lala's on it on the short term. I'm not like a huge festival guy. I'd say one of the things I love is how excited the artists get for festivals. Like, on social media, they're talking about, like, you know, even EDC last year at Coachella, Frank Ocean's supposed to shut down and he came for an injury. So what happens? You know, Fred Again, Skrillex, and Fortet come out and just absolutely blow everybody's mind out with the EDM. And it's like, I just love the idea of knowing that EDM, I like to just call it electronic music, is becoming more and more popular, and just seeing where that can land us this year.
True story. And another topic for another morning show here. But, like, that was the comeback for one of my greatest and favorite bands in the whole world. One of my inspirations for drumming, man, like Blink 182, that was their big, like, reprise to the stage situation. So I got a lot of respect for that festival and how they handle it, how they do it. Everything that you read and hear, they just create a great experience. And no, man, I can't wait to go one day and take the kid out there. But yeah, no, we should definitely get back into that at some point soon. I really want to talk about Blink 182. They got a really fantastic story, and I feel like it dropped off from a lot of people's, like, knowledge base with this last year. But there's really a beautiful story around them getting back together. That's really incredible. So, but until we get to that one, Will, thanks for hosting this one with me. And yeah, everyone, keep it real, keep it safe, keep it real safe, and we'll see you on the next morning.
That's it. See you on the next one.